On the evening of September 13th, the devastating Bobcat Fire spilled over the edge of Big Santa Anita Canyon in the Angeles National Forest above Arcadia and Monrovia and threatened 80 historic cabin homes, many of which date back to the early years of the 20th century. Also threatened Sturtevant Camp up in the mountains, the last remaining mountain camp from the great hiking era of the 1880s to the 1930s. Having hiked by those cabins and just seen, you know, what a wonderful sense of history and of the great hiking era here in Southern California, like so many Angelenos, I was concerned about the fate of them. And we're going to find out what's happened to that community. Joining us from the Angeles National Forest, Deputy District Ranger on the LA Gateway Ranger District, Aaron Ash. Thank you so much, Ranger Ash, for joining us. Can you share with us what the inspection of that area up in Big Santa Anita Canyon showed in terms of structures destroyed in the fire?
Well, Mr. Mantle, pleasure to be here. I don't have specific numbers. I do know that several of those cabins were destroyed, unfortunately, and it really is a great tragedy. Like you said, a lot of those cabins go back to the great hiking era. There's significant history behind those cabins. We're lucky, I think, quite a few of the cabins are still standing. There's a lot of risk in sending people down in there to do assessments. Just as a few days ago, it was still an active fire area. It was still being managed as an incident with an incident management team, you know, looking to suppress the fire and then think about some of the suppression repair that goes along with it. So it's a very complicated issue, and we've gotten some good imagery from it, but we still have a ways to go to complete the assessment and make sure that, you know, not only do we have the best knowledge to assess the cabins, but to ensure the safety of the cabin owners and then, you know, the firefighters and other Forest Service personnel who will go into that area to take a look.
Well, and I think sometimes we don't understand how long smoldering can occur after a fire or how much damage there can be to trails and things like that. I was hearing the story of someone who has a little ranch on the other side of the hill, but the Bobcat fire came right up to the property, and a couple days after the fire threat had gone, apparently the interior of a tree that had been smoldering just burst into flames. This is after the fire has long gone by, a couple days prior. So weird stuff like that happens even after you perceive the threat to be gone. Is that part of the concern with this part of the canyon?
Oh, yes, sir. That's one of many concerns. So you're talking about snags and some of the hazard trees, and you're absolutely correct. Some of those large trees, some of them haven't burned or been burned in 30 or 40, 50 years. And that heat will reside in that tree for days or weeks. And what will happen is that the tree will eventually die from within, and it may look like a healthy tree on the outside, but inside it's either dying or dead. And what can happen is those trees can fall, limbs can fall on people. That's just one of the many risks from hazard trees, stump holes. You know, when a tree will burn out and fall down, it can retain a ton of heat in a hole that people don't necessarily see. There's potential for rock slides, mud slides, and some of the cabins themselves, because they're historical, aren't you? They were built with materials that at the time were considered safe, but now we know that there's great danger from either asbestos or other chemicals. And because they burned, there's a hazard there to the cabin owners and the personnel that go in there. So we just need to make sure that everyone who goes down into that canyon is being safe. We want everyone to be able to return to their families and their loved ones and not put them at unneeded risk right now.
We're talking from the Angeles National Forest, Deputy District Ranger Aaron Ash. He's part of the LA Gateway Ranger District, which is responsible for this area of the southern part of the Angeles National Forest, which interfaces with urban LA, where these historic cabins, some 80 of them are, and some of them are you know, fairly close to each other, but others are then a ways off. And all of them you have to hike back into or pack back into to access those cabins. Also want to, you know, for those who aren't familiar with the great hiking era, what we're talking about, back just prior to the turn of the 20th century and into the early 20th century, as Los Angeles's population had one of its many booms throughout its history, you know, there was no Disneyland, of course. There were, you didn't have the kinds of even automobile trips that, you know, people later on would take around Southern California for leisure time. And so people would head to the mountains, and you would have on the weekends huge crowds of people that would be hiking these trails, going up into the forest. There were resorts up there where people could spend the night. But again, you would have to, you know, either pack in or hike in to get to these places. But the Mount Low Railway was something, was a tourist attraction. The incline is there as well, going up very steep mountainside to give people access to this backcountry at a time when that was the primary form of leisure in Southern California. Also joining us is Maggie Moran, who is operator of Adams Pack Station, which ferries the freight by pack animals to and from Forest Service work projects, to the cabins, up to Sturtevant Camp, miles from any sort of vehicle access. Ms. Moran, thank you very much for joining us. First of all, so glad that the pack station survived the threat of the fire. But from a business standpoint, this has to be devastating for you.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Mantle, and thank you for having me. Yeah, it is. It's really kind of been an interesting year for us at the pack station. It's knowing that we're not going to be able to actually run a business for, you know, anywhere from a year to a couple of years is a bit difficult. You know, we have so much support from the community and the people who love the area that I'm pretty confident we're going to get through this time.
All right. And what customers are you going to be able to serve during this time? Will it be people doing repairs to the trails once they can get in there and do more? What sorts of opportunities are there for the pack station?
So right now, there is nothing we can do at the moment. We were evacuated on September 6th, the day the fire started, and haven't been able to go back just for a few things to grab and leave right away. But as far as the business side of it, we essentially, the revenue we had in the past was either packing into the canyon for cabin owners and for Sturtevant Camp. But also we had a small little cafe and a store that was there for the public that came out to come hike and buy their passes and food and drinks. And so since we're not going to have the public in the canyon, so far the furthest date out is April of 2022, we won't be receiving any of that revenue. And as far as packing goes, it's really not going to be until cabin owners can go back into the canyon and the trail becomes safe enough for us to go down and take the animals down and pack as well. So it's really kind of hard to tell when that's going to happen, but we don't expect that to be anytime, at least before winter.
We're talking with Maggie Moran, who's the operator of Adams Pack Station itself, incredible historic service to the community there of the cabins and Sturtevant Camp, and an iconic place right there at the entrance, the Angeles National Forest. What about your pack animals? Are they're still on site there with you?
No, we evacuated them on the day of the fire on September 6th. So they've been at Eaton Dam Stables in Pasadena, and they're doing pretty well out there. The people who have who are holding them for us have done it before. This is probably one of the longer stays for them, but they are out there and they're being cared for there by the staff out there.
And they don't have to carry anything for a while, so that
they don't. I'm going to have to figure out how to get them exercised. We can't let them get lazy. We got to keep them moving.
So. Yeah, so you can get them back to work once you get access again. And you live there at the pack station, right? But you're not able to go back yet?
That's correct. Yeah, that became our primary home. We only purchased this pack station in December, and so it's been quite a year for you know, having had the pack station just for a short time. But, you know, I tend to be there for, I'm going to be there for the long haul. So we have had a GoFundMe campaign only for probably close to 2 weeks now, maybe a week and a half. And we have had such great support and response. So, you know, even though we're out and the donkeys are out, we're really grateful for all the people who've donated to help us get through however long it takes us to get back into business and back into our home.
Well, you know how beloved Adams Pack Station is in the community there. Maggie Moran is joining us on Air Talk. As we continue, we'll talk with the president of the Big Santa Anita Canyon Permittees Association, Ben Fitzsimmons. He's an owner of one of the historic cabins, and we're going to talk about what the status is. There have been cabins destroyed. There's not a full final count yet just because of the hazards of going up there, but we're going to get a sense of how that close-knit community is dealing with those structures that have been lost or damaged. We're at 866-893-KPCC if you have questions for our guests about what's happened with the 80-some historic cabins, as well as Sturtevant Camp, the last camp of its kind from the Great Hiking Era here in Southern California. 866-893-KPCC. We'll be back in 1 minute. I want to remind you, as part of our in-depth coverage of the election, next hour we have the first of our series of interviews with the third-party presidential candidates. Green Party presidential candidate Howie Hawkins will be with us. That's next hour here on 89.3 KPCC. Right now we're talking about the fate of the 80-some historic cabins, which are in Big Santa Anita Canyon, just above Arcadia and Monrovia. It's a real community of people. Some live there full time, but for many of folks that are there, it's a weekend place or a vacation place. And in many cases, the cabins have been held by the same family for generations. With us is Ben Fitzsimmons, president of the Big Santa Anita Canyon Permittees Association, and he owns one of the historic cabins in the canyon. Ben Fitzsimmons, thank you very much for being with us. Share with us, to the best of your understanding, and I understand there's not a complete accounting, but what's been lost?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me today. We're pretty close to having a final answer, because over the last week, as Ranger Ash said earlier, there have been a lot of hazards on the trails, but the Forest Service has been wonderful in sending in trained chainsaw teams to clear a lot of the trails. And then in the very last couple of days of the week, a number of volunteers, Forest Service volunteers, including cabin owners, obviously many of us are volunteers for the Forest Service as well, were able to get in and continue clearing, so that cabin owners, once the Forest Service feels it is safe in terms of the fire hazards, will be able to get in. So as part of that process of clearing the trails, we were able to find the last couple of cabins that hadn't yet been reached due to the obstacles. So we're pretty certain that we lost 17 of the cabin homes. Many, many other structures, outbuildings of various forms, those will take some time to identify, because when the buildings burned, they burned to the ground. There was nothing left. So it'll take some time to work out which of the piles of ash are which of the structures and outbuildings that aren't the cabins.
And there was one structure at Sturtevant Camp that was destroyed?
One of the cabin bunkhouses at Sturtevant Camp, yes. Sturtevant Camp, people can rent the cabins up there. Obviously, the individual cabins are privately held. Sturtevant Camp, you can rent them. One of the bunkhouses there burned, and I understand that some of the other infrastructure as well, some of the other buildings, the smaller infrastructure buildings, and the water system also burned up there.
Now, I understand you're a full-time resident of your cabin, is that right?
No, the cabins are officially permitted as recreational residents. So no one is allowed to actually live full-time in the canyon these days. In the past, there have been many people who have spent the majority of the time there, but most of us spend every free moment we can. Okay. There is no restriction specifically. They're just not permanent residents.
Okay, so you can't. You have to have another place to live on top of the cabin, it sounds like. And in your case, did your cabin have any damage from the fire?
We weren't sure until, as I say, the volunteer and the fire and the trail crews were in this week. Our cabin is one of those that is furthest in. It's about 4 miles in. And due to the obstacles, no one had actually been able to get to our cabin. But we saw some photos, and it looks like the structure is still standing. Well, it is still standing. There has been some damage from fallen trees, and there are some trees that are burn all the way through that are only a few feet away from our cabin. So we were very, very fortunate.
Wow. Well, thankfully, your cabin was spared. It's got to be very difficult, Ben, the conversations you've had with your fellow owners who have lost their cabins. Can you describe what that's like?
Well, that is probably the hardest thing. As I say, with 17 cabins out of 80, that's more than 20%. And we're a very, very close-knit community. As I said, most of us are in every weekend, some people during the week as well. We don't have phones and power up there, so we make our own entertainment, socializing with each other and helping each other with their cabins, with our cabin work. And it's been really hard seeing that our neighbors and our friends have lost their cabins. These mean a great deal to people. As you said, some cabins have been in families for generations, 4 or 5 generations. Others, they're just such an important part of our lives. And it's a great loss, not just to us, but also this is a unique community. I don't know that there's anywhere in the LA region where all of the homes are over 100 years old. So it's a
yeah.
Awesome. We really hope that we'll be able to rebuild. And the one advantage of such a close-knit community is that we're all going to step up and help our fellow cabin owners rebuild. It's not going to be an easy thing, so we're going to need everybody.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, is there going to be any challenge for those who've lost their cabins to rebuild them, because they wouldn't be historic if they're new? And that was one of the rationales, of course, for allowing the continued, you know, private vacation home nature of this, is that it's protecting these historic properties. So are the owners of the places destroyed going to be able to get permits to build new cabins?
Well, they may be new in terms of age, but they certainly won't be new in terms of materials. We definitely see ourselves as custodians rather than owners. We are looking after these buildings for the community as a whole. So the Forest Service does have obviously a number of policies in place for these situations. All the cabin owners will have to apply for permission to rebuild, but there are very strict historic guidelines. It's not like they're going to be rebuilt like any other home. They'll be built close to the historic cabin that was lost, as is humanly possible.
So you're confident that permits will be issued for rebuilding?
We've been given no indication by the Forest Service that wouldn't happen.
Okay. Let me bring Aaron Ash back. Aaron, can you just clarify, is that true, that they'll get permits?
Well, it's going to be a lengthy process, and the Forest Service will do all due diligence to ensure that if cabin owners are allowed to build, that it's safe to do so. It's going to be a lengthy process, and we're going to be open, honest, and transparent in that process, and work hard to resolution for every. There are a lot of risks. I know that the.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out. I'm sorry, Aaron. Let me just say, we got a call from Greg in Arcadia, who's one of the cabin owners who lost his cabin. Greg, we are so sorry. He was a 30-year owner of that cabin. He said, we always had a post-Thanksgiving party there on Black Friday, which I won't be able to experience. It's a tight-knit community between all the cabin owners. Greg, I'm sorry it wasn't time to put you on the air, but our hearts go out to you over the loss. even if it's not a full-time home, obviously 3 decades worth, a long time, and to build a bond with your historic property. My thanks to Aaron Ash, the Angeles National Forest Ranger, Maggie Moran of Adams Pack Station.